Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Let's do it live.
That's right. We're going to do it live here on Free Talk Live.
This is not recorded, ladies and gentlemen.
No. Although, I guess technically we're the studio audience.
Yes, it's just us right now. Just us.
Free Talk Live is filmed before a live studio audience of us.
Yeah, that's right. Just us right now.
Because we're a live call-in radio talk program where you can call in, talk about, well, whatever you like. We're going to talk about some stuff. There's an article that we have that apparently wants us to feel bad for a specific subset of government, and we'll talk about that coming up.
Oh, boy.
But
I don't think we should feel bad for any of these people, honestly. I mean, they're thugs. They're tyrants. They're many, many tyrants.
Yeah, I know they are.
They're
yeah.
learning how to be tyrannical beings. Not beings of love.
I was talking to somebody recently who has, you know, some kids or whatever, grown, right? You know, they're older, they're in their, you know, late 50s or whatever. But they've got some kids who are, I don't know, in their 30s or something. And they were talking about how, you know, they're changing careers, right? They went into, I don't know, tech or something like that, software or something. And they decided, no, they want to make a career change. And instead, they're going into government.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I'm like, why would they want to become a micro-tyrant?
I don't know. What's up with these people that want to be micro-tyrants? Do they think they're serving humanity?
Job security?
Okay. I mean,
no, pure and simple. We're never going to run out of, well, so long as the world doesn't get blown up and we haven't completely eliminated the institution of government, there's always going to be a job for people who want to be micro-tyrants.
Yeah, but it's funny whenever I unleash that term to somebody who's obviously never heard it, micro-tyrant, right? Because, like, they immediately get it, or it seemed to. Like, every time I've said it to somebody, I've seen, like, a facial expression, like, they're like, micro-tyrant? Oh, that's actually a pretty good term for what they do.
It is a good term.
And, like, they realize that there is some, you know, at least on the surface, some element of force involved in their job, coercion, you know, that kind of a thing. Because, I mean, government doesn't really do anything. It doesn't have anything. It doesn't produce a product or a service. It just,
well, violence, oppression, these are products slash services that you will take.
It does appear to be produce services like healthcare or roads or mail.
Well, okay, but like it really doesn't do anything other than take a bunch of money from everybody else, take a hefty cut off the top and keep it all for themselves and their friends, and then, you know, subcontract the work out.
It's true.
If
That's
anything,
what they do.
If anything, they are inept project managers in that respect,
mm-hmm.
right? Where,
but Captain, mail is an essential service. We shouldn't have to pay for an essential service now, should we?
The mail can be replaced with existing companies.
Oh, they already did at one point. Lysander Spooner.
Right.
That's right.
Famously, replaced the entire postal office. And because he was so efficient and so cheap, they made it illegal for you to ever do that.
Which is ridiculous, because we should be able to do that. We should be able to compete against the post office.
They want everyone on Earth to believe that what unites them, what connects them, is government. I mean, the first thing that everyone thinks about is, well, who will build the roads, right?
Right.
Right, because that's what connects us. That's how I got here, was roads. The thing that literally, physically connects my house to this studio is roads.
Yeah.
And why would they? Because they could pick anything. They could pick dentistry or flowers or anything.
Healthcare.
well, they're working on it.
Yeah, that's true. They really are.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
They even though it's a terrible idea, they're working.
I'm sorry, let's rephrase that. Disease subscription management.
Actually a better
subscription
model.
Disease management.
No, thank you, yes.
Now, why did they pick Rhodes? Why is that so important to them? Because they need to be the thing that literally holds society together.
Yeah.
They can't allow people to realize that society can hold itself together. That human beings acting without coercion can decide to be friends with each other.
I've been driving around. It's springtime now. Like, all the snow's melted. We had a, I don't know, almost 70-degree day yesterday or the day before. I'm not sure which one.
I think it may have been yesterday or the day before. I don't remember. Either.
So, of course, all of the divots in the roads are fresh, if you will. The potholes and the, you know, that kind of thing. The cracks and the bumps and all that kind of stuff. I'm thinking to myself, you know, if the roads were free markets, there would be some roads, depending on who's quote-unquote managing the roads, who the service RSP is, your road service provider.
Mm-hmm.
But there would be roads where, like, as soon as a pothole popped up, it would get filled that day.
Mm-hmm.
That would be really cool. I would definitely pay for that kind of service.
Right. Now, I'm pretty sure that this doesn't happen at the government level on any road anywhere around the globe.
So it's actually worse than you think. So not only would there be ones that, oh, wow, you filled the pothole that day? No, there would be advances in road technology that cannot exist.
Right.
Because, look, everyone, you know how this works. They have to spend the entire budget in order to get a bigger budget next year.
Because if they don't, they get a smaller budget.
Right. And if the money were not being printed, it might be okay to have the same budget next year. But they keep printing money, so everything keeps getting more expensive. So they need a bigger budget. So what do you think they do? They make sure that none of the potholes get filled.
Right.
So that there's perpetually a need for construction workers paid by government to fill those holes.
And that's what government does when it interferes with the marketplace, is it creates problems like this. It creates more potholes instead of incentivizes filling potholes and road technology.
Right. Now, what would it be? I don't know. I'm not the market. I have one brain, not a billion brains. But who knows? It might be that there's actually some kind of metamaterial that's actually really cheap and easy to make, where it just literally flows into what was a pothole and fills it in.
Yep.
That might be technology that already exists, and we will never know.
Yeah, or how about something that reminds me of, like, the self-feeding pet dish,
right,
where you load, you know, a big old bag into a gravity-fed container filled with dog food. Well, what if something like that could exist, where if a pothole crept up, it just sort of automatically oozed itself into the cracks, and no one even noticed?
Yeah.
That would be really cool.
Decades ago, in school, I saw this video of, you know, back when it was a little bit hard to create fake video, of this machine. Like, I watched the footage of this machine replacing asphalt. It would carve up and grind the asphalt in front of it, heat it up, and just pour it out flat out the back of it.
Right.
That existed 20 years ago. 20 years ago! This was before the internet, people!
Welcome to government, Peklos. They can't invent things.
Well, no, it's worse. It's so much worse than that.
You're right.
They have to suppress invention.
Of course they do. Yeah. They don't want any competition, dude.
Right. They can't possibly show you how easy this is to do, or else you'd realize that it doesn't need to be centrally planned.
And then you're perpetually their absolute slave, and these tyrants love it when you're their slave, because then they don't have to do as much work.
I'm reminded of the scene in V for Vendetta, where the chancellor is on the big screen, and he's all, "We need to remind everyone why they need us."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
how they remind us. They disincentivize invention. They disincentivize free markets. They disincentivize free minds by indoctrinating them in their public indoctrination centers.
All right, so before we go on, it is Free Talk Live. If you are just tuning in and you've never heard our show, please visit freetalklive.com to find out what we're about. We're a live call-in radio talk program from the perspective of freedom, liberty, peace, prosperity, those types of things. generally a libertarian, sort of bent to it, although some of us are anarchists versus, libertarians. There's,
or if you, prefer the term voluntarist.
Voluntarist, definitely.
That's the term I prefer.
Because we do throw way fewer bombs than the ones we're fighting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not the freedom-minded people who started all the wars and, bombed, a bazillion countries since the time that I've been alive, that have lied to get us into armed conflict.
Seen the new one that's happening now?
Yeah, we Riley and I are actually talking about the Iran drone bombings of Israel right now.
That's the one. All right, guys, you wanted it, you got it. World War III, this is how it starts.
Why do we have to keep doing this to ourselves? We keep cheering on these stupid wars.
I can tell you exactly why. Because people are too afraid to change. They could, at the very least, save in cryptocurrency. That would require them to learn a thing and to face something that's, I'm a little scared of it, but at least you wouldn't put 100% of your value, your life's effort, into things that they control.
Right,
first and foremost, the dollar. But anyone with any savvy knows that you can't save in dollars. They're melting ice cubes. You can't hold on to
them.
That's
right. They're melting ice cubes.
Right. So where do people put their money? They put it in stocks. Oh, you mean pieces of...
go up and down.
Right. But pieces of corporations.
Right.
Corporations are, and always will be, parts of the government, by definition.
Yeah, they are legal fiction.
Right. That's what a corporation is. So people buy pieces of these things that are the government.
Yeah.
Okay, some of them will put it in land. Oh, you mean deeds issued by the government?
By the criminal gang known as government?
Yeah.
By the tyrants, despots, and thieves, the parasite class?
Right. The bonds, either the ones initiated by these nightmarish monsters that are currently threatening the existence of multicellular life, or the ones that are issued by the corporations that are just parts of the same organization.
Yeah, and to that extent, government itself, at least the United States government, is also a corporation.
Yeah.
Because it grants itself protections that... well, no other organization or persons get.
It is to a corporation what a corporation is to a human being.
Yes.
Like the levels of immunities and powers, like never dying, never needing to eat, existing in multiple places at once. It's like that, but a step up. Because when it steals, people cheer. When it kills, people cheer.
Now,
when it poisons you, the people go along with it.
They demand it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. They demand that everyone else gets the poison, too.
Now, I've encountered people who, when you talk about, the abolishment of government or what does, the world or even some subsection of the world look like without the institution of violence known as government. And one of the reactions that I've gotten a number of times is, but the corporations will just take over. And it's like, well, okay, so first of all...
they did.
they're already...
like, first
yeah,
first.
Yeah, yeah you're afraid of what already happened. second of all, if government is successfully abolished, then corporations technically don't exist.
Right.
Right. So now you're going to have...
And then you have to make them double back, and they go, okay, well, I guess what I mean to say is that companies will just become violent and take over.
Yeah, I don't think so, because they have already within their organizational structure the duty to provide a product or service to their shareholders, if you will. Now, in a free market that is a market absent government, will large organizations exist?
Yes,
of course they will. However, they'll now be free to organize in any way they want to. They don't have to necessarily subscribe to the legal fiction that is corporatism as laid out by government. So that is to say, like right now, I'm trying to think of one. There's a bunch of like nonprofit organizations that have to be corporations, right, according to government, right, or else... right, or else government will come after them with, men with guns and, legal threats and, oh, well, if you don't fill out these forms and pay these fees, we will put you in jail. And if you resist that, we purport the authority to end your life. just because you're not organizing the way they want to.
And right. That's the horror of this organization that we call government. The parasite class feeds, I repeat, feeds off of the American people the people around the world. And this is why we are here on the radio talking about the parasite class as though they are the enemy, because they are the enemy. They're not your friends, ladies and gentlemen. Don't salute their flags. Don't pay homage to their history. It's time to stop this insane system that has brought violence and death and destruction and armies that oppress to the American people and the people around the world for centuries. It's time to stop this madness.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And I'd like to point out that, like, would there be large companies? Yes and no. Well, like, there are advantages to size, but they are nothing like the advantages when size allows you to avoid taxes.
Right.
Because every time that you print your own thing instead of going to a printer, that's taxes you didn't have to pay and they didn't have to pay.
Here's something that doesn't exist commonly that I believe would exist in the absence of government, and that is people organizing to accomplish a task, and then when they're done, they go back to whatever it is they were doing earlier.
Yeah.
Right? Like, well, I don't know, recently in the news there's something about like a bridge collapse somewhere overseas or whatever, that kind of thing. So,
or like, even a bridge collapsing here on American soil in North Carolina.
Right, yeah.
the depressing...
Actually, that was Maryland, my bad.
So like,
what you're describing is literally what corporations were until the turn of the century. They were, number one, only for public goods, explicitly and exclusively. And number two, they were short-term. They would come together for a single purpose, build a bridge, build a dam, something like that. Something that was, again, a public good.
Right.
And then they would disband.
Right. Can you imagine how easy it would be for like a community that like, oh, you know, the bridge is broken. Somebody, you know, volunteer some time and put up a GoFundMe to, you know, we need approximately this much money to you know, rebuild or fix the bridge. That kind of thing. So everybody put it, you know, and if you're in the community, you chuck in what you can, if you want to. It's all voluntary.
Or you could donate manpower.
Right. You could donate, yeah, your labor, you know, that kind of a thing. And then, you know, when the project's over, you know, whatever's left gets redistributed or refunded back to whoever, you know, did the contributing, right? So if there's money left over at the end of the thing, sometimes, believe it or not, and we make fun of them often here on Free Talk Live, sometimes the government program will have money left over at the end of the thing, whatever the thing is. And generally what they will do is they will use that money to find a reason to keep their organization going.
Right.
Instead of just being like, we're done with the one thing we set out to do. You know, there's some money left over. Let's refund, you know, whoever pitched in or give it back to the people. But that doesn't happen. But that, like, I feel like these things would happen. We would see a resurgence of what I'm going to call spontaneous organizations, right? Mm-hmm. Something like a bunch of labor firms or even like temp work or a construction consortium or several of them where people can and do accomplish these things voluntarily. So, again, just the example of the bridge. Bridge goes down. Something like a GoFundMe goes up. Some, you know, organizations are tabbed for doing the work. And then once the goal is met, the work is to go. Go ahead. Do it. Do the work. And then once the work's done, yeah, see where they're at. And then everybody disbands and goes on back to whatever they were doing before. If you hired some people, they still have their business. They've got other clients. They're busy, right? You know, you just become another client, you know, for these organizations, these construction workers. So,
and one thing I'd like to point out. So let's say, hypothetically, maybe it is, in fact, the most efficient system that we, as a group, own this, that, or the other road. Okay, well, as Greg from Intercoin will point out, this already exists.
Yeah.
Like, here's this building, here are these apartments, all of these are equally owned by everyone who's doing this.
Right.
Like, it is a collectively owned property. It's just a voluntarily collectively owned property, which is a very reasonable way to accomplish roads.
Yeah, and like, it scales.
Right. Here's all these people. Like, we all need this road, so we all have a share in this road, so that it's that much easier for us to throw together, okay, well, we need to patch that pothole. Everyone put 50 cents in. Why? Because, yeah. Well, it's our road.
Yeah.
Oh, turns out we've got, $10,000 left after this. Okay, what are we going to do with that? Well, let's vote on it and figure out whether we're going to, I think we should add this bridge here, or no, I kind of want my 50 cents back.
Yeah, small towns are an interesting microcosm of large cities because you can see what does and doesn't scale. For example, here in Keene, New Hampshire, there's been a move to replace the standard parking meter, right? That is 1 meter at one parking spot in the downtown area. And they're replacing that instead with many meters with one kiosk.
Mm.
Right. So wow. There's going to be a kiosk now that you have to walk, several spaces away from where you're at max. And then go and, put in your debit card or enter some money somehow, scan a QR code, all that kind of stuff, and pay for your parking. Now imagine if the government was gone, you as a business no longer had to pay taxes for your business, for the property your business is in, or if you're leasing, then the owner of that property also doesn't have to pay that tax. And then you and the rest of the businesses on your particular street all get together and are like, hey, so we've already got this road. We need to figure out how to maintain it. Billy here, my assistant manager, has got a good idea. I'll just throw in, X amount of money into this GoFundMe, and then every year we'll evaluate what needs to be done. Now, do we want to charge people for parking, or do we want parking to be free? And they're going to find out real quickly that it's more beneficial for them as businesses to have free parking than to make people pay.
Right.
Because if people are forced to pay for parking, why would they want to park at your business?
Right. Now, on top of which, so I believe parking in downtown areas would become free in the absence of government. And also, the reduction of the cost for maintaining the roads compared to what they were previously paying in taxes is huge. It's ginormous. It's gigantic. I can't even invent a new portmanteau to tell you how huge of a reduction in cost that's going to be to businesses.
Real big.
Huge. It'll be huge. And so then now businesses are free to put that money back into their products and services or figuring out, how to get more people to their businesses. Perhaps they'll get together and build a big parking lot. We don't know what's possible until government gets the FCC out of the way.
But they'll never get the FCC out of the way because they don't want to. They want to stifle innovation. They're too afraid of innovation. They're the control freaks, after all.
And one thing I'd like to point out is that everyone who's worried about companies getting violent, government is the one that can get violent without losing customers.
Absolutely.
They're the only ones that can do that. Anyone else gets violent, other people go, ooh, you subscribe to that service? I won't work with you.
603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. Stay tuned. More is coming up.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News Update. Multiple people stabbed at a busy shopping center in Sydney, Australia. Police evacuating shoppers at Westfield Shopping Center in Bondi Junction, reportedly shooting also one of the two alleged suspects. They were searching for the other. At least five people have died in that stabbing spree, although police have not confirmed that yet. The U.S. expecting Iran to launch attacks against multiple targets inside Israel in the next few days and is prepared to help intercept any weapons launched at Israel. President Joe Biden's one message for Iran right now? Don't. Hunter Biden is going to have to face federal gun charges, his lawyers arguing that an immunity agreement tied to his plea deal is still in effect. The judge said it's not. Corey Myers, USA News.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in and listening. It's Free Talk Live. The telephone number, if you would like to join us, 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass. Joining me,
Riley.
And Peakless Mountaineer.
We haven't even begun really talking about any of our show prep yet. I do want to maybe spend another minute or so talking about Iran and their drone bombing of Israel, just because it's breaking news. Like,
yep.
I mean, like an hour before I headed to the studio, like something popped up, like breaking news: Iran is suicide drone bombing Israel.
Oh,
like,
boy!
Like, it is literally the most important thing happening in the world right now.
But before we go on, Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency made for spending. You can pay your bills with Dash at spritz.finance. Plus, they can send dollars to your bank if you still need those for something. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and easy to use Dash. You can learn more at dash.org. That's dash.org.
Before we move on, I'd like to promote the 420 event coming up next Saturday at the Concord State House, the New Hampshire State House in Concord at 420.
I was going to say, what time is it?
Yeah, 420 on 420. We're going to hold a Cannabis Freedom Rally, and everyone who is listening is invited to come partake in that experience. Whether you partake cannabis or not, come join us for Cannabis Freedom Rally.
If you're in or near New Hampshire, that is, come from Maine, come from Massachusetts, come from Vermont, come from anywhere you can, and support this, because it's a good idea. Like,
you absurd radicals and your theory that a human can just own, like, a part of a plant without government assistance.
We don't need your permission. Parasites. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we're.
I mean, what's next? Do you think you can just, like, choose what kind of medical treatments you get?
I believe I should be able to.
Or you can, like, you know, make your own decisions about how to spend all of the money you earn. we've got a lot to talk about, but first let's go to Bobby, I think, in Florida. Is that right, Bobby?
Oh, yeah, man. Just was hitting the bowl, man.
I mean, go ahead, but the 420 rally's not till next Saturday.
He's starting early.
What's on your mind, Bobby?
Hey, Captain Kickass. I'm really enjoying your show tonight. And, yeah, they got the Iran and Israel. And I'm pretty sure I talked to you before, Captain Kickass,
sure.
Because I used to call Ian and Mark all the time, especially when they're like in the heyday, man. I know you know you're back in Olson and then before you moved from Seattle to New Hampshire, because that was, you know, that takes balls to do that, dude. I really look up to somebody that has the balls to get down there. That's a big move. That's all the way across the country. And so, you know, it does encourage other people because, you know, as I see it right now, the Free State Project's not really doing that great, you know, because they got a big hit, you know, with Ian going, Vigel and Aria and everybody, and having somebody like you to step in and actually, you know, do what you believe, your principles. Somebody else that can actually do and lead, like Ian, kind of, you know, and I know you know you're not Ian, but, you know, you took the step. You did what you had to do, you know, and so, at least it's somebody to look up to because the Free State Project, would you agree, has taken a hit, you know, the past, you know, year?
I mean, like, they didn't reach their goal, right? Their goal was to get, I mean, they did reach their goal as far as signers, right? They got enough people. They wanted 20,000 people to sign up to make the move, but we did not get, or they did not get the 20,000 people to actually move. They triggered the move, and they got somewhere on maybe 25-30%, right? So, we don't have an official tally.
Well, maybe. So that's the problem. You're talking about a group that really doesn't like being on lists.
Right.
For pretty obvious reasons.
Right.
And there's really no telling how many people just very quietly moved, you know, especially up into the North Country where they don't really deal with that many people, but here they are.
Yeah, if we're talking official statistics, like, I did not sign. I did not sign up for the Free State Project. I just moved here because I thought, there's a freedom movement going on in New Hampshire. I got to go.
Right.
Right. I'm like, I didn't sign. I was just like, I'm going to go. Right. I got the opportunity. And so here I am. So, Bobby, I don't know. Was there a question in there somewhere? Did we cover?
Listen, here's the funny thing. I signed Free State Project thing 13 years ago. And I've been trying to get to New Hampshire for 13 years. I've been bumping and grinding. And so you didn't sign it. Here's the thing. But you moved there.
Yeah.
I signed it and I'm still working on moving here. Ain't that crazy? You know, so I think a lot of that has happened. And, there's people in the Twitch chat asking when Aria's coming back. She's coming back, I think, December time.
So we don't have anything official. I don't have an update on that as of yet. I have a message out to her and, I haven't heard back from her. In a few days. The last I heard, everything was still on track for her to be out by the, we're going to call it the end of May, right? So June 1, right, is sort of our projected date for her to be released. I don't know, you know, what kind of timing, you know, how much time is she going to need to readjust to get herself settled back into regular life before she returns to the show. These are the questions that still remain. But last I spoke to her, her intent was indeed to come back, do the show. And so, you know, we can hear her firsthand recounting of all of the crap that she's had to endure while inside a federal facility, not to mention all of the dirt about the trial that hasn't been revealed to us because, well, we're not privy to all of that. Once she is released and out, we can start to hear some of that.
Yeah, the problem is the Bureau of Prisons, like the rest of government, is capricious and unpredictable. They will give you this amount of sentencing with no intention of ever actually having you serve that. Might be all of that. They might even, you know, keep you there a little longer just because. Yeah. But most people, they let out earlier if they're well-behaved.
Yeah, so that was according to Aria. That was her last projection that she told me. She gave me three different scenarios. Like, if these two things happen, then I'll get out on this date. If these things happen, then I'll get out on this date. And if none of these things happen, then I'll get out at, like, June 1st or something like that, right? So I don't, you know, the messaging system that... somehow she got me approved to communicate with her in the prison system. Like, it doesn't save your messages. So, like, I actually went back to look at that information, and the message is gone. It just, like, it doesn't exist.
Yeah. Oh, wow, that's crazy. They get to do that, but we can't.
Right.
Yeah, save everything.
Apparently. Yeah, if you need to be in contact with someone who's in prison, you might want to get some KY jelly first, because the Core Links system is not
horrible.
Friendly.
Yeah, it's horrible. Yeah. Anyway, Bobby?
I can't wait to hear your guys' commentary on Iraq and Iran and you know, Israel and everything that's going on. So I'll call back later, you know, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week. I love listening to you guys. You're doing a great job.
Before you go, Bobby, are you, like, I realize you're trying to get up here, are you putting a little bit of money away in some cryptocurrency?
Yes.
I'm putting away
about 5% of what I'm getting. Into crypto, it's not much, but I, you know, it's a little bit.
There you go.
Yep.
All right, good. Then I look forward to seeing you.
Hey, Bobby, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate you. Hope to hear from you again. 603-283-6160 is the telephone number.
I can't let someone who's trying to save up to get some more freedom not be fully aware that the effective way of doing that is with cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, this is this thing that doubles in value every year. So, yeah, if you are trying to save money, there is no alternative.
Yeah, it's certainly the number one instrument for increasing your wealth.
Plus, there are plenty of places here to spend it.
There is that.
And that's nice, because there are local people.
There could be a lot more. I don't know about plenty, but there are some, which is better than, like, dude, I lived in Seattle, Washington, the tech hub of the West Coast, outside of, like, you know, the Bay Area of Frisco or something like that, right? And in 2019, when I left to come here, the Seattle area had one Bitcoin ATM. Mm. One. I get here, and there was, like, 15.
Yeah, I mean, he was asking about, you know, what we thought about the Free State Project taking a hit with Ian getting arrested and everything. And the biggest thing that I noticed was just the total evaporation of our cryptocurrency market. Like, there were so many businesses, there were ATMs.
Ian was definitely a huge proponent of cryptocurrency, and it's going to be really hard for us to get that back going again, because he knew a lot about it, and he was...
Well, and
principled and knowledgeable enough to promote it.
And everyone just got scared. Like, there were so many things that, like, it was just posted QR codes that they accepted cryptocurrency for this, what, that, and the other.
Yep.
And they just took those down.
Yep.
Just quietly took down the QR codes.
Yeah, no, I noticed that.
They were so worried that they would get wrapped up in whatever it was. Oh, unlicensed money transmission? Is that what you're calling it now?
Right.
That, yeah. Now, the weird thing is, like, a lot of them still take cryptocurrency. They're just quiet about it.
Yeah.
But that is not good for a trade system.
Well, so the tech will defeat the fear. Right. I don't know how yet, but it will. Likely because people will be put in a situation where they have no choice. Right. Where like, you know, they're trying to do something. They're trying to have, I don't know, a garage sale. Right. They're trying to do, you know, they put something on Craigslist. Right. You know, I'm trying to sell my guitar and that kind of thing. And, you know, they don't want it to be tracked. They don't want it to be traced. They don't want it to be looked after or looked for by the powers that be, a.k.a. government. And so the people themselves will find a way. We already know that cryptocurrency has value, and there's a huge market for it, because there's thousands now, thousands of cryptocurrencies. They're not just Bitcoin anymore.
Right, and there's more of a competition in the marketplace, and that's the beautiful thing about this crypto revolution.
Yes. And one thing that it is doing is scaring the establishment, which it should.
Oh, yeah.
They should be very afraid, because this technology not only can replace money, that is the value exchange between humans or organizations for goods and services, it can also replace government in its entirety, because it can do all of the things that people have traditionally relied on government to do.
Yeah, all of the organization that we want from a central area, we can actually do in a decentralized fashion.
Right. You want record keeping? Who owns what plot of land? That can all be done on the blockchain.
Yeah.
Doesn't need to be done by a centralized, bureaucratic, violent organization that steals money from everybody else, takes a hefty chunk off the top for themselves, and then contracts the work out to some employees.
No.
That doesn't need to happen anymore. It can all be done on the blockchain.
Yeah.
You want to get married and make an official record of it? It's already happened.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a bunch of marriages that are, you know, they're on the blockchain.
You just put it on the blockchain so people understand that this is an agreement.
Yeah, you want a particular set of people to make a collective decision on, like, okay, who's going to serve in what office?
Right.
Put it on the blockchain. It's easy to do.
You want
to? That's one of the things that Intercoin specializes in, is voting oriented cryptocurrency systems.
You want a certificate of authentication. You're a collectible guy. You collect, I don't know, superhero action figures, rare, still in the box, right? That kind of thing. You want a certificate of authenticity that it is indeed an official product of this particular thing, this comic book or whatever it is, right? NFTs already exist.
Yeah.
Right? NFTs can and like already are becoming these certificates of authenticity. Baseball cards, for example. Right, you can still have the physical baseball card in a hermetically sealed thing to keep it from, you know, degrading over time, exposed to air and all that kind of stuff. But then you also have the corresponding certificate of authenticity up on the blockchain that is linked to that card.
Right.
So, like, if you sell it, and then the other guy also gets, not only gets the card, but gets the certificate, and it's all recorded on the blockchain. So, eliminating the need for these bureaucratic silos that people have traditionally looked to government for.
Yeah, and I forget the exact word for it, but there's this word for, like, who has owned a piece of art. Like,
yeah.
Okay, you own this art, but who owned it before you, who they get it from, so on and so forth. And the great thing about it is that, with a certificate of authenticity, well, how do you know that that's authentic?
Right.
Well, it looks authentic. Well, that's pretty easy to fake. Whereas if you have a non-fungible token, NFT, for that certificate, then you know for a fact, here is the time that that was created.
Right.
And here is, if you then sell that action figure or that baseball card or whatever,
yep.
Okay, well, you would also transfer the NFT. And it's like, okay, well, you have had this baseball card for this long. They had this baseball card before you.
Right.
They got it at this point, and it's just, it's all kept free of charge.
It's kind of like most people, when they go to buy a car, they ask for the Carfax, right? Because this is like a history of, has your car been into an accident, mm-hmm. you know, has it been maintained? If so, where? What was done to it, right? It's this sort of history of your car. Well, the same thing can, like, Carfax can just put all their stuff on the blockchain,
mm-hmm.
right? And they are a, you know, a voluntary organization, I guess, as much as they can. They are a corporation, but, like, stuff like that no longer needs government.
Yeah.
Right, and we have all this record on a blockchain.
Yeah.
And it's existing in numerous locations, so it can be accessed by numerous people.
Mm-hmm. And there's no chance of it getting destroyed just because this system goes down or what have you. It's already everywhere.
Yep.
Yeah, and so this is the technology that is behind the what is now a speculative asset. Like, yeah, NFTs are, you know, going for crazy amounts of money and then losing all of their value and all of that. They're highly speculative. But the reason that they're interesting to begin with is because of the technology behind them and what it could be used for. But right now what we're doing is we have one big gang that will use force if you go against their version of events.
Yeah.
And that's how we do, like, oh, well, this is my car. Says who? Says the United States federal government. You
right.
want to mess with them? Well, no, I don't. Like, I know for a fact that I bought that, but if their record says that, I guess I'm SOL.
Right. So, using the car analogy, The title of your car is usually issued by your state, right? Mm-hmm. In the U.S. anyway. So, you know, you buy a car in New Hampshire, it comes with a New Hampshire title. You buy your car in, Oklahoma, it comes with an Oklahoma title. And if you move from Oklahoma to New Hampshire, you got to go to the, you know, the town clerk or whatever the bureaucratic office is. You've got to hand them your Oklahoma title. You got to fill out some paperwork, pay some money, and then wait for them to issue you by mail a title for your vehicle in New Hampshire. Why do you have to wait?
Because it's an inefficient system.
Bureaucracy, that's why. It's the same reason that there's still many states where you go in for your driver's license, and you get the photo taken and everything, and they just give you like this black and white printout of what will eventually look like your license while you wait for it to show up in the mail in 2 to 6 weeks. The technology exists, people, for titles to be printed on demand on the spot. The technology exists, people, for driver's licenses to be printed on demand on the spot.
Yeah.
But, like, for whatever reason, bureaucracy is like, well, we can't do that.
Oh, I'll tell you the reason.
We can't do that.
No, I'll tell you exactly the reason. The reason is there are jobs at stake. There are a lot of jobs that are in this centrally planned.
And we can't hurt people's jobs, Captain. Do you really want to unemploy a bunch of people? How dare
you? That is the scary part of government, is that it is the largest employer in the U.S. right now.
Yeah. Well, obviously. And that's part of the point of gaining political power, is that you get to give all these cushy jobs to your favorite cronies. And they get to give a bunch of cushy jobs to their favorite cronies.
If you are employed by government at this point in your career, the point of you hearing my voice talking about this, do yourself a favor and start learning some new skills.
Yeah.
And that'd be really good for you, because working for a terrorist organization never turns out well for you.
Quite literally.
Yeah, and let's look at what the effects of this are. Here we are on the precipice of literally ending the human species. That's where we are.
Yeah.
Like, I can tell you, like, exactly how this can play out. Could. Not necessarily will, but could play out very simply like this. So, step one, America really likes Israel and has been ginning for war against Iran anyway for a real long time. It's
they've been using propaganda so much propaganda to spur on this war, if you will.
Yeah, so the next move that they're likely to make is very simply they're going to put a bunch of military equipment and important personnel in their property, on their embassies, on their military bases that are in, conveniently located in Israel.
Yeah.
So, first, so all of these great targets, in order to get to them, you have to bomb American soil, which means it triggers NATO.
Yes.
So every other country that is in the North Atlantic Trade Organization, all of them have to act as if you just bombed their sovereign soil.
I'm going to make a prediction, a potential prediction. I could be wrong, but I'm going to predict that after this attack from Iran, Biden's going to issue some sanctions. But we all know how effective sanctions are. They don't work against the government. They work against the people.
How do we impose sanctions on Biden from speaking or even,
don't listen to him.
Turn off your television.
That's what I've done. I've imposed sanctions on politicians at large. I turn off the TV and the radio whenever they come on and are going to speak. I do the same with these debates. Like, there was some kind of a debate between somebody and someone that the Liberty community, like, thinks is a cool person or something, does some good podcast or something, I don't know. And they're like, did you? And I'm like, I don't even know who these people are. No, I didn't watch.
Mm.
You know, because, like, it's not important to me to, like, I don't know, this weird, like, cheerleading thing goes on.
Yeah.
Right? Within the Liberty community. And I'm like, that's fine. Like, if you want to spend your time doing that, that's your choice. You go ahead and do that. I'm just going to spend my time doing stuff that, like, is going to be productive for me. To me, that's a non-productive task, is watching some people debate a thing. Right? Yeah, I might learn something. I might learn a different perspective. You know, maybe I'm missing out on something. But, like, largely, these debates happen, and then they go away, and then nobody ever talks about them again. And they have no impact on anybody's life other than they took some time to watch a thing. They, you know, sang some praises on the social media and then moved on.
Well, you could do both. So if and when I, so I don't watch debates. Yeah. Like, I don't care what your facial expressions were. I don't care what your posture was. I don't care what your eyes were up to. I don't need to put that much focus on what you were doing physically. What I care about is the ideas.
I think it makes more sense to care about the ideas put forth in that debate rather than the body language and the tone.
Exactly. So I don't need to watch it. I can just listen to it. And when I listen to a debate, I can be driving, I can be cleaning, I can be being productive in a whole number of ways.
Yeah.
And then I get to, you know, if there's a good idea that's worth knowing here, like, you know, because you have to challenge your own ideas.
Oh, absolutely.
Or you end up with bad ideas, or you end up with good ideas with no defense of
them.
Or
you become delusional.
Yeah, I mean, none of these are good outcomes, so it's good to listen to the opposite side. So it can definitely be valuable to listen to a debate while you're being productive.
So swinging back to the Iran... apparently launching ballistic missiles and drones. This is from the AP. Booms and sirens in Israel after Iran launches ballistic missiles and drones in an unprecedented attack. Booms and air raid sirens sounded in Jerusalem
unprecedented
early Sunday after Iran launched dozens of drones and ballistic missiles toward Israel in an unprecedented revenge mission that pushed the Middle East ever closer to a region-wide war. The attack marked the first time Iran has launched direct military assault on Israel, despite decades of enmity dating back to the country's 1979 Islamic Revolution. Condemnation was swift, with France saying that Iran has crossed a new threshold with regard to its destabilizing activities and is risking a potential military escalation. Britain called the attacks reckless. There was no immediate word from authorities on whether any explosions were an incoming attack. Air raid sirens were reported in numerous places, including northern Israel, southern Israel, the northern West Bank, and the Dead Sea near the Jordanian border. Israel's Megan David Adom Rescue Service said it was treating a 10-year-old boy in critical condition in the Baduan area of the Arad region, but provided no details. So that's all I know for now.
And I'd like to point out this is a retaliation for what Israel has already done, and we'll talk about that after the break.
Stay tuned. More Free Talk Live is coming up. Hour number two is next.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. GCNfood.com.